Good evening, everybody. This evening's lesson is continuing the idea that you all started Sunday. What is a Christian? Jim talked about that, and I'm not going to go into depth about that because I'm sure Jim did a wonderful job establishing what a Christian is. And then yesterday I was able to hear Walter, and Walter talked about the benefits. Why be a Christian? And that's certainly an important subject. I've been assigned to talk about the subject of Christians only, or a Christian only. And that's a subject that is sorely needed in today's world. Because recent studies have shown about 85% of the population in the United States believe or at least profess that they're Christians. And then I saw another survey that said only about 20-25% of the people in the United States attend a church regularly. And then when you see some of the people on television talking about, I am a Christian and I am a homosexual, there's some misunderstanding out there that needs to be clarified. So what does it mean to be a Christian only? What exactly does that mean? Well, I'm going to go over 3 points in this evening's lesson. The first one, I'm going to discuss something that is sometimes referred to as the law of harvest. And then we're going to look and learn that the seed is the Word of God. And finally, we'll look at the importance of pure seed and why that is important when we consider the idea of Christians only. So let's start, first of all, with this thought of the law of harvest. If that's a new concept to you, well, let's go and see where that is based upon. Galatians chapter 6, and you're welcome to turn along in your Bible with me. I put it up here because I want to do some emphasis on certain things, but I encourage you to open your Bible and mark in your Bible and follow along. But in Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, we read, Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, Paul is referring to a well-known agricultural principle that I'll call the law of harvest. And what Paul is saying in this passage is, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to get. And we know that. Even in, I don't know if any of you own any larger farms, but if you plant anything in your backyard, you know that if you plant a sunflower seed, at least if it's labeled right and you know what you're looking at, what's going to grow up isn't going to be a watermelon. And if you plant a pumpkin seed, what's going to grow up isn't going to be an oak tree. What you plant is going to be what you receive. Now, there are several corollaries to this as well. As you sow, you will reap. So if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. That point is made in another passage. But what we're going to look at tonight is what you sow, you will reap. Paul used that principle to show that if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap everlasting life. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. And the obvious choice is then sow to the Spirit. Sow to the Spirit. Now, having recognized that is an agricultural fact, and it's a fact that Paul makes application to spiritual principles, what we sow, that we're going to get. Now, the next thing we need to recognize is the seed is the Word of God. The seed that we're talking about as pertains to being a Christian is the Word of God. In Luke chapter 8 and other passages in Matthew and Mark as well, we have the parable of the sower. I'm just going to summarize the parable. We'll get to the point in the middle. But Jesus began to describe how a man went out and he began to sow seed. And he'd throw the seed, and some would land on stony ground. And it didn't do very well. The birds came and ate it up. He threw some and it went by the wayside. And he threw some and it fell among thorns. And some it fell among on the good ground. And he said, some produced 30-fold and some 50 and some 100-fold. Now what is important that you understand is that this man wasn't sowing different types of seed. He wasn't sowing good seed and receiving good results and poor seed and receiving bad results. It was the same seed. It was where it fell. And this parable was meant to teach something, and the apostles had some confusion about this. And so his disciples came and asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? Why are you telling us this? Jesus said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. That's what's being sown. God's word. He sent the disciples out to sow God's word. He didn't send them out to send their own to teach their own opinions. He didn't send them out to teach worldly philosophies. He didn't teach them to send what would be pleasing to the world. He sent them out to preach the word of God and let God give the increase. If it falls on good and sound hearts, it will have produce. If it falls on hardened hearts, it may not. But our job isn't to go out and test the soil. Our job is simply to sow the seed. This is a picture of what is called the Methuselah tree. Back in 2005 in Israel, they were looking at the Masada fortress, and while they were digging around, they found a packet of seeds that was buried about 2,000 years ago, very near the time of Christ, that same generation. And they had that in storage and decided, you know what, let's try and plant one of these seeds and see what happens. And so they planted these, and it turns out it was a date palm, and it grew. And that was remarkable, but here's the important point. Whatever those men buried 2,000 years ago, whatever they stored, that seed still resulted in the same date palm. They didn't sow or they didn't store date palm and then get some other tree. What came forth is what was stored. The seed doesn't change over the time. And time does not have any effect on it. Whatever was stored, when it's planted, it comes out, whatever it was that was there to begin with. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, the Apostle Peter wrote, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God. Peter said, you have been born again by the word of God. And that tells us how important the right seed is. It is the word of God through which we're born again. And he doesn't say any seed will do that. We are born again by the word of God, and therefore it is critical that we make sure that what we're planting and what is received is indeed the word of God. Now here's another flower. The Russians apparently didn't want to be outdone, and so they had found a cache of seeds that they believe was buried by a squirrel, and they're saying it's 32,000 years ago. Now you'd have a hard time convincing me that. I don't think the earth is that old. But the point is, they go back who knows how long, and they pull these out and they plant them And what do you think they got? There's a fancy name for it. It looks to me like a buttercup. But this particular plant apparently is extinct anymore. Or now it was extinct as far as anyone knew. They plant the seed and it comes forth. The same thing that that squirrel buried, when they pull it out and they bury it, guess what? There it is again. The seed produces what, when you sow, you receive what you've sown. And that is an agricultural fact. Now in 1 Peter chapter 1, again verse 24 and 25, Peter said, "All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." Now it's interesting as you look and you see these seeds that were in storage for such a long time, they preserved. The grass has died, but the seeds had been stored away. But when that seed taken out and it's planted, you get the same thing. That grass, buttercup or whatever you want to call that, as far as nature is concerned, it no longer exists until it was planted. That grass withered and faded away. But even if it is thousands of years old, again, I don't believe it's 32, but even if it is thousands of years old, one thing's for certain. Though it faded away, God's word will never fade away. And Peter says, "This is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." Now, this is important because a lot of people today will tell you, you know, we can't go back the way things were. Things are just too different. Times have changed and the Word of God has changed and everything is changing. We just can't roll back the clock. But they're working under a false assumption. They're working under the assumption that that gospel has faded away. Jesus said His Word would not pass away. Peter said the Word of God, the Word of the Lord endures forever. It's not passed away. And therefore, it's possible to sow that same seed that Jesus taught, that His disciples taught, and get the same results. And that's important that we recognize that. So we go to the next principle, and that is, that's the importance of the pure seed. And this is the major point. If you notice, this is just about 15 minutes maybe into the lesson. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. Those are simple facts that we can recognize from the Word of God, from nature, and recognize it's true. But here's the important point we need to make tonight, and that is we have to sow pure seed. If you go out and you sow seed, we've already established you're going to get what you sow. That's not going to change. And so recognizing that, it's important that we as Christians, especially our responsibility, to sow only that pure seed. We'll talk about this in depth in a little bit. But first of all, let's look at here in Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees and the scribes. He said, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men.'" Now that's an important point to make. These individuals, because they weren't declaring God's word, they were declaring man's word, man's doctrine, he said their worship was vain. And that's one reason why it's so important that we, as children of God, sow the right seed. If we're sowing false seed, our worship is in vain. We're not pleasing to God in that condition. As the passage continues, we read, "When he called the multitude to himself, he said to them, 'Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Now, this was basically surrounding the idea of washing hands and how you eat and things like that. And what Jesus was trying to say is what you say, what you do, the product of your life, that will defile a man. Not to be so concerned about these ceremonial washings that were going on. Then he said to his disciples, then his disciples came and said to them, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" Go easy, Jesus. You're stepping on some powerful toes there. You're going to upset some people, and these are powerful people. And you didn't see Jesus shake a bit, did he? He didn't waver a bit. In verse 13, he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted." Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. Now let's look at that first point. Every plant which my Father has not planted will be uprooted. That's the second reason why it's so important that we have pure seed. If the Lord has given us seed to sow and we sow something else, it's only going to be uprooted. If we tell someone they're going to be saved in a different way than the Lord said, and they follow that, they're not going to be saved. When the end comes, when judgment happens, that's only going to be uprooted. And so not only is our worship in vain, our work, our effort would be in vain, because if it's not planted by the Father, then it's only going to be uprooted. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11, Peter said, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God." Now that word oracle is basically the idea relates to a prophet. And he wasn't saying, if anyone speaks, let him sound like a prophet. That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him speak God's word and nothing else. If we preach anything else, if we teach anything else, our worship is in vain and our efforts are in vain. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the idea of GMOs. I probably would have no idea what they were if I didn't look on Facebook occasionally. But a GMO is basically a genetically modified organism. It's an organism or microorganism whose genetic material has been altered by means of genetic engineering. What it is, scientists go in and they introduce non-natural DNA. It might be from another plant, it might be from another animal, but they go in and they modify it. There's reasons for that, but it's certainly got a lot of people up in an uproar, because when we plant seed that we have modified, it's unnatural, we don't always know the results of what's going to happen. And that's exactly what's going on in some places. They try to make sure that these things are kept in one particular field or something like that, and they're scattering. And we don't know the effects always that's going to have on the environment. We don't know how that's going to affect our bodies, and I'm not going to go into great detail about that. Just simply say, if you alter it, it changes it. That's a fact. And as a matter of fact, in Colorado, the United States has a vault that stores some 600,000 types of seed that's natural, not altered, just pure and natural. Why would they do that? Because they know there could be some environmental disaster. Now, they're probably thinking about something like global warming or a comet coming in. They don't believe the Bible that says that this earth is reserved for fire, God, the fire, the wrath of God. But they're preserving this in case something happens and we'll have all the seed preserved, but they want to make sure it's unaltered seed. And they've got this vault there and individuals all concerned about making sure all of this is preserved. because that's important. They know that if they introduce it into the ground, it's not natural. It could have unknown consequences. Well, let's look at this. We looked earlier at an agricultural fact. Let's look at a mathematical fact. If we look at an equation, and we take the number 1 and we add something to it, that addition is called an addend, and then the result is a sum. I know this is basic stuff, but it's a mathematical fact. We know that if we add 3 to 1, it'll become 4. It changes. If we add 8 to 1, it'll become 9. It changes. It is a mathematical fact that anything you add to an addend will change it except 0. We know that. We know that from math. Well, let's look at a scientific fact. Maybe we could say an artistic fact, but if we take a color and we add anything to that color, it's going to change it. If we take yellow and we add blue, it's become green. If we take yellow and we add red, it's going to become orange. It is a fact that anything you add to a color will change that color except nothing. We recognize that, right? Makes sense. Well, it is a logical fact. A logical fact that anything you add to a doctrine will change that doctrine except nothing. If we take the gospel and we add or take away anything from it, it's going to change it into something different. The only way that we can have that pure seed is by sowing the gospel and adding nothing to it and taking away nothing to it. And if we do that, then we will have the gospel and nothing else. And that's the only way we can keep the gospel, is by keeping it unaltered. Don't add, don't take away. Now, let's look at that logically. If you take the gospel and you add doctrines to it, you're going to come up with a different product. Years ago, we talked to my mother-in-law about being a Christian. She was Roman Catholic. And she would tell us all the time, the Bible is only 1/10 of religion. Well, she was right as far as Catholicism. That's true. The Bible is only 1/10 of Catholicism, because over the years, they've added all sorts of different teaching. And you cannot be a Roman Catholic simply by following the Bible. You have to add all of the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church, whatever is in effect today, and by adding that to the Bible, then you become a Roman Catholic Christian. The same thing is true of the Methodist discipline. If you take the gospel and only the gospel, you're not going to be a Methodist. But if you add in the Methodist Book of Discipline, you follow those precepts, then with the gospel and this other teaching, then you can be a Methodist Christian. If you take the gospel and add Hiscock's Guide for Baptist Churches or whatever they might be following, you're going to come up with a Baptist Christian. But what we want is a Christian only. We want to sow that pure gospel, add nothing to it, and then we will have only a Christian. Because that's all we can have if we sow that pure seed. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians and he said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Even in Paul's day, there were individuals who wanted to take the gospel and change it. Well, I don't like this so much, I'm going to just erase this part. And he didn't say anything about this, so we'll just add that in there because that makes us feel better. Peter said, these individuals are not making another gospel, but rather are perverting the gospel of Christ. That's what we do when we add to God's Word. We as Christians want to make sure that we have the pure gospel preached. Notice how serious Paul was about this. He said, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached, let him be accursed. Paul wanted to emphasize that. He went on, he said, as I said before, so I now say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel than what you have received, let him be accursed. Do you know there's at least two major cults that say we are preaching something different because an angel spoke to the person that founded our organization? That's two major cults, and there's numerous other groups that say the same thing. An angel spoke to me. An angel gave me this message. Paul said, an angel doesn't have that authority. I don't have that authority. No one has that authority. And if they come and they preach something other than the gospel of Christ, let them be accursed. Now that's strong language. But brethren, we need to recognize the importance of taking the gospel and adding nothing to it, taking away nothing from it. And if we do that, the result will be a Christian, and only a Christian. And it's important that not only do we as Christians not teach anything else, it's important that we and others obey nothing else. If we want to be what Jesus wanted us to be, we have to do what Jesus told us to do, and nothing else. There's just one more point I want to bring to your mind, and this is basically directed at saints. We'll call this a bonus point. In John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now here's the important point for you to remember. And I'm promising you this is the last point. There's a lot of people today who will tell you, well, Jesus is the branch, and all of the denominations are branches. Or Jesus is the vine, and all the denominations are branches. That's not what Jesus said. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And he said, anything in me that doesn't produce fruit, my Heavenly Father is going to take away. So that tells us that once that pure word of the gospel has been presented, here's the lesson. We need to be fruitful. Here's what Jesus is saying here. I am the vine, you are the branches. Every branch in me that bears fruit, that does not bear fruit, my Father takes away. You have to be fruitful. The fruit of the Spirit, we have to do that. We have to sow the seed. We have to live the gospel. We have to produce the fruits of the Spirit. And if we sow the right seed, and nothing but that seed, there will be Christians. If we don't sow the seed, no Christians. At least from our work, from our labors. If you're a child of God, that's why it's so important to understand what it means to be a Christian only. And why it's so vital to be a Christian only. If you're not a child of God, then you need to hear the word, obey it, and we encourage you to do that tonight. If you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, then we invite you to act on that. Repent of your sins. Confess them. Repent of your sins. Confess the Lord this evening and then be baptized. We'll help you in any way we can if you'll come to the front while together we stand and sing.